And there goes the full-time whistle for it. Serene are promoted into League One as all the players have managed to storm onto the pitch. I've had a word with someone very special. I won't be breaking any copyright by telling you this. Yes. Derby, Sunderland, Ipswich, you're going to be eating hummus at the new lawn next season because Forest Green are in League One.
Welcome to the Heaven's Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
Heaven's Devils podcast. We're third in the league. We're third in the league. Wycombe is top. Tottenham is not. We're third in the league. You're happy.
Oh, we're let's happy. Go. Wait, what was that last line again?
You know, Cheltenham is not. They're not.
Wait, what? Oh. No. What
I said,
we're something top.
Wycombe is top. Wycombe is top.
Oh, I think it's Wycombe.
Oh, is it Wycombe? All right. Fair enough. How do you pronounce our new striker's name then?
I think Wycombe? Also Wycombe.
Wow.
Yeah, double the Wycombe, double the fun. Wow. Wycombe is top. Cheltenham is not.
We're third
in the league.
Exactly.
Man. I love it, Shane. Yeah.
What a language. What a team. Oh. What a country. What a language. It's crazy.
Let's go. All right, Jimmy, before we get into it, we are presented by Settlement 84. If you want to hide your hairy boys, look no further than Settlement 84. That's a Ben Schoner joke.
Shout
right
out
there.
To New York City Green Army, FGRNYC, baby.
Green Army, New York City. The shirtless shadow, Tommy Beardshaw, was again shirtless at the Mem. I don't know if you saw those pictures on Twitter.
No, the glory blinded me. I tried to look at them, but I couldn't see. It was just too... And it was divine light.
So Tommy Beardshaw, the shirtless shadow, was shirtless again at the Mem, but you don't have to be. Settlement 84. All their clothes are ethically made with the environment and animal welfare in mind. And they have a new Heaven's Devils pod section, Shimmy. Mm-hmm. They made some Heaven's Devils gear. It was awesome. Yeah. The hoodie.
The hoodie is fire. I got to admit.
The hoodie is fire. I would wear that in a second, man. I love the hoodie. I need the hoodie. Also, our guy James from the Bloody Vegans podcast messaged us, and he's like, I need some of those sweet Dom Bernard thigh-high budgie smugglers. Are you shipping to the UK? First of all, yes, they are shipping to the UK. Secondly, I also need those, too. I love the shorts as well.
Oh, we'll be smuggling no budgies because, again, animal welfare is topmost in the mind of Settlement 84. So,
amen. Amen. And also, any proceeds from anything you buy from the Heaven's Devil section will go to a charity, the life you can save. Some charities can be hundreds or even thousands of times more impactful than others. The life you can save seeks to give money to the highest impact charities out there helping humans, animals, the environment. So look good, feel good, do good. Check out Settlement 84, settlement84.com. All right, Shimmy, big pod today. We've got our captain, our striker, our old man and the sea, Forest Green Rovers captain, the real deal, Jameel Matt, is on the pod today.
Jamma. Love Jamma.
Jamma. And we've also got the Lori of Football Insight. Lori is a truck for you Americans. Lori Martin is on the pod today to talk all about the Bristol Rovers game and the season ahead. Incredible chat with Lori. You're going to love it.
The data dump truck.
The data dump truck. And finally, we close out with Ross Halls from the Kings of Anglia. It's the podcast to preview Saturday's giant match. So let's get rolling, Jimmy. First with Jamma, then we'll go to Lori, then we'll go to Ross. Before we get to Jamma, Lori, and Ross, a quick match recap. But before we get to the quick match recap, we have a new signing, Shimmy. New signing alert. New signing, baby. Yes. Sign a striker. Everyone's saying it on Twitter with British accents. Sign a striker.
Will you? Richard Hughes. Oi. Oi.
Hey, sign a striker.
Sign a striker, eh? You all right? Sign a striker.
You all right? That's all right. Hey, and Richard Hughes said, hey, that's all right. I'll sign a striker then. And he brought in Connor Wickham.
I believe it's Connor. 29. It's Connor Wycombe, I believe. That's correct.
Connor Wycombe. Connor Wickham Wanderers, the 29-year-old striker, adds depth to our forward position. He kicked off his career at Ipswich Town. Then he played at Sunderland for a few years before moving his way up to Crystal Palace. So the guy has Premier League experience, Shimmy. He was most recently with League One MK Dons, where he was in 13 games, got a goal. Average who scored rated a 6.2 last year with MK Dons. So we will see. He is a veteran with outstanding experience at this level and above. As always, if Richard Hughes likes him, I like him, Shimmy. I don't know anything else about him, but I like him if Richard Hughes likes him.
And Richard Hughes, we trust, you know.
And Richard Hughes, we trust. So that's exciting. We've got a little depth. I think we'll probably bring in one more before all is said and done, but it's great to get some more attacking depth in there. We'll ask Jama about that as well, as we'll talk to him in actually just a few minutes. But first, let's get on to the football shimmy. The quest to League One dominance began in Bristol as the Forest Green Rovers took on the gas of Bristol Rovers. No Armani Little. A little bit of a surprise there. No Harry Boys. No problem, though, as the boys...
Wait, are you sure this isn't a Manscaped ad? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I love it. Yes, oh my God, this is the Harry Boys. As long as Harry Boys is on our team, we should do Manscaped ad, Shimmy. Oh, it's perfect. It works too well. Anyway, the boys, the non-Harry Boys, start the season off on the right foot. Megan Hendry serves a bean-based meatball early to Cooley Bill Cargill's head. And he almost found the first goal of the game, if not for an outstanding save from our friend of the pod, and man with a restraining order against Sean Baker, James Belshaw. Shortly after, at the other end, Luke McGee saves a missile from Rocket Man Harry Anderson, and we're still tied at 0-0. It was end-to-end all game. McGee's free kick found Kyle Kevin McAllister, who says, "I'm eating junk food and watching rubbish. You better come and stop me." And Belshaw does, getting his fingertips on it to keep it scoreless. The relentless Forest Green attack continued as Jordan Moore Taylor's exquisite ball found Reese Brown, whose first shot of the day was a good shot, but Belshaw tipped it safely, as Belshaw was doing all first half. Our attack was then unleashed at that point, all over, but Belshaw just continued to stand on his head, stopping shots from McAllister, Digga, and then watching Jameel Matt's strike bounce off the foot of the post. We go to halftime, Shimmy, with a dominant Forest Green performance, but no score to show for it. How are you feeling at halftime, Shimmy?
Yeah, I was just wondering how the ball stayed out of the net. You know, we were so promising. We were attacking through the midfield. We were strong in the air. And yeah, man, so unlucky to have that Jama shot just bounce off the post and couldn't turn in the rebound. But man, just great, great offensive and attacking play from us against a side that finished last season in really, really strong offensive form.
100%, man. So a little worrisome that we couldn't score, though, but it was just great to see us just dominating that first half. But do not worry, because we would score. Forest Green would take the lead in the 55th minute,
yes,
going into the second half, when JMT, oh, he's my dynamite,
yes,
got on the end of Hendry's corner, and 700-plus traveling fans exploded 1-0 to the Rovers. Forest Green went in for the kill minutes later as funny man Corey O'Keefe thought he had made it 2-0 on the assist from McAllister, who made his family disappear, and the ref made the goal disappear. Offsides, incorrectly called offsides, mm-hmm, also.
Right.
It should have been 2-0, but no VR at this level. And Joey Barton's gas took advantage of that, as ex-Forest Green player Azza Razmataza Collins did what he refused to do for us and scored a goal.
Ooh,
1-1.
Ooh. But he was on fire at the end of last season. You got to give him credit, and he started this
season.
He was.
I had to... All love Azza. All love Azza. By the way, we'll talk about this in a second, but they all went out to dinner together. I don't know if you saw that after the match.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It was actually really cool. Aaron Collins, Kane Wilson, Taylor Allen, who played in Walsall earlier that day, somehow made it down to Bristol.
From Walsall,
to meet up with the people's champ, Maddie Stevens and Dokes. So kind of cool. They all went out together today. You know, all up to dinner together. That lifelong football friendship. Three of them are no longer with Forest Green, but it was really cool to see them all together. Anyway, 1-1, still in the second half, and it looks like we're going to leave with a disappointing point. Considering our performance, you know, it felt like we deserved to win, but not so fast. In the dying embers of the match, Regan Hendry, who made history with a Scottish wonder strike after a beautiful 1-2 with McAllister in the 90th minute. And Forest Green hang on to get the win in their debut. 2-1 in Bristol, Shimmy. We discuss in detail with Laurie in a little bit later. But quick thoughts, Shimmy, on the opening day.
Man, what a celebratory way to return. We clinched promotion last year, you know, at the Mem. But it was a 0-0 draw, of course, right? Or it was 1-1, right?
Yeah.
No, it was 0-0.
It was 0-0. We didn't see a single goal at our end. Actually, the entire time we were there. Forest Green at home, there were no goals at our end, even though we did win the game.
Right.
Fulham, we saw it. There were no goals at the home end. And then we went to Bristol Rovers away. Also, no goals.
Yeah. So if any team does not want to score at the home end, if that's what your stats crew tells you you need as a club, we are available at reasonable rates.
Invite
us over.
We are available at reasonable prices. Yeah. At Settlement 84, I can tell you.
But no, it was just it was just incredible to see that goal, and what a strike to win it too, you know. And like you said, like the 89th. 90th minute, just at the very, you know, death of the match. Although there was six minutes of extra time to, or stoppage time to give us a little bit of squeaky bums. But it was great, man. It was great. Just great to see us celebrating again at the Mem. And it feels like we're starting out the season right, because you need to build that momentum. So it was just in, all the group chat was blowing up, both the, the WhatsApp groups and our local group chat. So. And the excitement is there. It's awesome. What a start.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was so fun. Such a fun match overall to watch, and then such a fun win. I don't even care that all of us streamers missed the first 5 minutes due to a glitch on the website. I don't even care that for 20 minutes in the game, we had Cheltenham Peterborough commentary over our video stream and not our own commentary. I don't even care. The game was a delight. There was so much positivity in this game, and I think there's so much positivity to come this season. We talk about it in a minute with Jamma and Laurie. But I think we're gonna surprise a lot of people this season, mm-hmm. Shimmy. I listened to the Not Top 20 podcast, and they already admitted that they probably made a mistake in their preseason table predictions by relegating us. I think they did, Shimmy, as the great Gab Sutton said, processes, systems, organizations over individuals all mm-hmm. day. I think that's the key. I think we're gonna surprise a lot of people this year, Shimmy.
I hope so. But man, with a start like this, we started the way we should. We started the right way. Let's just keep rolling on.
Love it. All right, Shimmy, let's go now chat with the real deal, Jamil Matt, our striker, our captain. Then we'll go to Laurie, and then we'll end it off with our man Ross from Ipswich. Here we go, Jamma! We welcome back to the pod a man so old he still uses Facebook. I'm guessing
the Facebook.
A man so old he gets heartburn after eating spicy foods. A man
true,
so
true
old
story.
He asked his son for help turning down the ringer volume on his iPhone. He is our leader, our striker, our friend, Forest Green Rovers captain, the real deal, 205 pounds of steel, Jamma. Welcome back to the pod, man.
Hi guys, nice to see you guys again, and thanks for having me as always. Feeling good and feeling excited to have a little chat.
Yeah, man, how was the summer?
Yeah, it was good. It was quick.
Yeah,
it felt like it flew by, but no, I managed to cram everything I wanted into the summer. So yeah, it was a good summer. And yeah, just kind of got ready, and now we're back, and it's time to hit the ground running again.
Yes, and you already have hit the ground running after week one. We'll talk about that in a second. You went to Jamaica though, right?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to fly over to Jamaica.
Nice.
Managed to take my little boy with me, so that was really good.
Oh, awesome.
And yeah, I got to see some family and friends over there, so that was a really good time and a really, really good breakaway.
Awesome, right. Man, awesome.
Cool. So, you know, we won't let the fitness staff know, but there was a little bit of curry goat that was had, right?
Not a little bit.
good man.
yeah.
All right, well, we're gonna kick this off with a family feud that we're gonna play with every single one of our guests. So Sean, how would you describe Family Feud for anyone who doesn't know?
Well, it's an American institution, and for those of you out there who are fans of Steve Harvey, which of course who isn't, right? The man. One of the original kings of comedy, as we know.
Right.
It's just a game where the populace gets surveyed, and then families face off against one another to see if they can get the pulse of what society feels on certain questions. And so we know the FGR is a family, right? We know it's a brotherhood inside that locker room. And so we're going to have our little own family feud here on the Heaven's Devils podcast. I should probably learn the name of this podcast at some point.
All right, so here we go. We're going to play this with every player who comes on. So, Jamma, there's a lot of competition. Since you are the captain, since you are the veteran, since you are the leader, we expect big things out of you, Jamma.
No pressure at all.
No.
So
doesn't feel it. Doesn't feel it.
That's right. So we're gonna keep track of everybody. So here we go. You can see the screen, right? You can see Family Feud. I'll narrate. All right, here we go. We're gonna play.
Are you gonna do the old timey 70s?
I'll put that music in the background.
All right, nice. Later. Perfect. All right.
So here we go. Family Feud. Let's go. Which of me or Matt? Starting it off. Oh, you can hear the music, actually.
There we go.
All right, awesome. Don't worry about Iris 96. It's a game against the U versus the
Iris 96 looking awful lot like your wife. Nathan's kind of strange.
I kind of look like my wife. All right. Money? Here we go. Jamin, name a popular wedding gift.
Money?
Money. Good. Second best answer. 40 seconds.
Obviously not great at wedding gifts. Alcohol.
Alcohol. Mm. Nice. Nope.
Ooh. Okay. One strike. Two more to go.
Some kind of. Oh, I don't even know. I'm not very good at this at all. Maybe like some kind of house present. I don't know.
House. Let's see if that works. House present.
Ooh. All right. Wow. One strike left, Jamin. One strike left.
And nine seconds left. 7, 6, 5. Four,
I'm out.
All right, we got money. Let's see what we got. The number one answer. Name a wedding gift. Oh, sorry. The last answer. Crystal, silverware, dishes, money, toaster.
Toaster.
I would have got...
I had to be more specific than I hope. Homeware.
All right. Well, 38. And everyone wants money anyway. So, Jam, if I ever get married again, I'm inviting you to my wedding. I know you're going to give me a gift. I just want money. That's all they want. All right. 38 points. Round one. Here we go. Round two. Chance to redeem yourself. Round two, double points. Name something people do in their sleep. 60 seconds.
Sleep talk.
Talk.
Talk. Okay.
What?
Oh. Surprised at that one.
I mean, toss and turn.
Toss and turn. Oh my God.
Sleepwalk.
Okay.
Sleepwalk.
What?
This is awful. Crazy.
What's going on in America here? You know, what are we doing in our sleep? Probably, if this is American society, it should have been something involving guns. So you might have said something like, shoot a gun.
That's right. Cuddle your gun.
Yes.
In your sleep. Cuddle?
Cuddle. What? This is crazy.
This is, I have no idea what any of these answers are myself. This is nuts.
To be honest, infinite dream.
Dream, yes.
Okay.
Think you're way too far. Right,
hey, yeah. There we go.
Two, one. Time's up. Yeah, all right, let's see. The lowest answer, drool. Pass gas. Grind teeth, dream, and snore.
Snore.
All right, 20 points, Gemma. We're off to a rough start. 78 total points. Here we go. Third round, round three. We got 78 total points. Next round.
Can only get better from here.
Triple points can only go up from here. Here we go. 60 seconds. Name a word that rhymes with honey.
We'll go money again.
Money.
Yes. Nice.
Funny.
First answer. Funny.
Bunny.
Bunny. Hey. Your answer.
I can hear my little boy watches Bluey, and all I can hear in my head is Dunny, which is an Australian word for the toilet, apparently.
That's definitely not it, but I like it. I won't waste our guess, but that's a good one. Boy, it's a nice bright day here.
Sunny.
Hey! Let's see. Hey!
Perfect round.
Let's
finish
go.
Strong.
Perfect
finish
round.
Strong.
Got them all.
Nice.
Huge round, 507 points. Greetings from Seattle for some reason. A rare postcard, whatever. All right,
That is your prize, Jamma. That's your prize.
585 points. Break last it. Round, here we go. The fast money round. You're just going to give the best answer for each one of these. Here we go. Last round, fast money round.
All right.
Name a state. Oh, crap. A state. Sorry, Jamma. Where 100-degree temperatures are common.
Nevada, is that a state?
Yeah, it's a state.
It's a state.
Excellent.
There we go. Name an animal some people look like when they pucker up for a kiss.
Fish.
Fish. Ooh, okay.
We asked 100 women. I always look better when I take off my blank.
From the woman's point of view, remember that.
Take off my... Is it makeup?
Okay.
Makeup.
All right, got 15 seconds, Gemma. We got two more responses.
There's something people hate waiting for.
10 seconds.
Traffic light.
All right, and last one. Name something a Powerball lottery winner is probably worried about. Uh-oh.
Missing that one number.
We ran out of time. Nevada, 11. Arizona, Fish gets you 33 points.
Hey, the first. Nice.
15. Close to the one. Traffic light.
What?
Oh. Ooh.
Ooh. I agree. Traffic light was a good one.
Pretty pals.
Greedy pals slash kin. Okay. Okay. All right. 59 points. Here we go. 585 plus that. 644, a respectable score. Actually, I don't know if that's respectable because you're the first guest who did it, but 644. Congratulations, Gemma. We will see where you rank among your teammates as they eventually come on here. All right, so Gemma, let's get into it. One match in League One and one win in League One. Quick thoughts on the opening match, Gemma.
Yeah, it's I think. See, preseason for me, I'm not a massive fan of preseason because it's kind of you can look at it either way, whichever way you want to look at it. But I think it's one of those where it's you use it to build your fitness up. So obviously, going into the first game, you're always not 100% sure where you actually are. So it's always good to obviously start off with a win and set a marker down. I think it was one of those where we knew Bristol Rovers from last season. Obviously, it got a game you guys got to come to last year, so.
Yeah.
It was one we were looking forward to, and it was a tough game. First, we kind of grew into the game. I think the first 20-25 minutes, they had the momentum and the crowd behind them. Lost being away from home, but I think once we got kind of our first chance, about just after half an hour in, I think we always at the team most likely to break the deadlock and to win the game. It's good to start off with a win, but it's just a start, and yeah, we'll need to obviously get a few more of those on the board.
Yeah, it's interesting that you also say, like, you didn't really know what to expect either, because we had no idea as fans, like, what to expect. It could have been, we just had no idea, because there's so many new players, a new manager. We had absolutely a new league, and, you know, Bristol Rovers have some new players, lost
players.
So many
variables.
So many variables. Yeah. I had no idea what to expect, but, man, you guys were unreal. So some breaking news here. I'm sure you've heard, new signing of a strike partner for you. Connor Wickham, do you know anything about Connor?
Yeah, obviously Connor's trained with us today and is obviously a player that's played at a very good level. He's always played, I think, in the Championship and above. So he's someone that's going to add quality first and foremost to the team and to the squad. It's a really good player and a really, really good signing for us. So looking forward to playing with and around Connor. So yeah, it's a great signing for the club. And shows kind of how far we've come with a player of his kind of stature is signed for us.
Yeah, he played in the Premier League. It's crazy to think. Little old Forest Green have a player who used to play in the Premier League. All right, so Gemma, you've had four coaches in three seasons with Forest Green, with Cooper, Jimmy Ball, Rob Edwards, and now Ian Birchnell. So you've had a lot of managers in your short time at Forest Green. Could you tell us about Ian Birchnell? What's he like? How is he as a manager? What's his style? What's his personality?
Ian's been brilliant since he's come in. Can't speak highly enough of him. He's come in and he's got like a real calmness about him, which I think is massive, especially with the turnover players we've had. Himself coming into a new setting, a new environment. Maybe not knowing what to expect himself, but he's exudes kind of calmness alongside Doyle, who is his assistant. He's just kind of got a really good, calm way of getting his views across and his tactics across, his philosophy across. So he's been top notch since he's come in. Really, really clear in the way he wants us to play. He's a really, really good coach again coming in. So. Yeah, really enjoyed working on the ring so far and looking forward to working more with him in the future.
Nice. So,
yeah. like Nathan was saying, you know, there's a lot of apprehension from our side of our perspective, right? Our side of things, where it's like, we don't know what Birch Ball is going to be like. But judging from that first performance, you guys seemed organized. There seemed like there was a plan. So what you're describing, having experienced in training, we saw on the pitch as supporters as well. And so that was super exciting, you know, to take home the win in such spectacular fashion from Regan Hendry. But to see you, you know, just be so aggressive and get, you know, balls on goal was also like incredible to see.
Yeah, no, we go out there and we work on a lot of stuff in training. So we know what we need to do. We know everyone now knows the way we play. We're still obviously working on that because we're still building relationships actually on in terms of a game setting. You know, obviously the last 2 years, you kind of had a settled squad. There's been a few changes. So we obviously work on it in training, but I think in the game setting, you kind of build relationships a little bit more, a little bit stronger. So that's something that we're still working on, but it all bodes well because everyone knows their jobs, knows their roles. And yeah, it's something that Ian's put in place, and it's something that, you know, we're all enjoying.
Yeah, and man, that first game was just so fun. You mentioned, like, when we lose Cadden and we lose Kane, everyone's like, okay, where's the creation going to come from? Like, those guys created so many opportunities for you and Matty last year, and there were no issues with that. We had so many shots on goal, so many, like, it was unreal that first match. But anyway, I want to move to something a little more personal to you, Jama. You experienced maybe the shock of the century in May when you lost Mad of the Year.
Yeah. Probably the most devastating moment of your career, we understand.
Describe the impact of losing Mad of the Year. How much has that fueled your preseason drive?
It's, to be honest, it's the biggest thing. It took me till about June to kind of get over it. A few weeks where I was like, how have I not won it? And now I've lost this. But yeah, you can see in the offseason, I've worked really hard. I've got in the gym because that's not happening again this year. I'm not losing out of the year again. So yeah, it's a massive impact on me. But yeah, it's, like I said, with losses come motivation. So, you know, I've got to keep working to be better next year.
There you go. The man is calling it now. He's winning Mad of the Year.
He's winning Mad of the Year. I love it. We might have a different deciding criteria this year.
On this shot.
That's right. We'll see. Hopefully we don't sign any new mats though, so you don't have any more competition than what you already have with Maddie Stevens and Maddie from Scotland, the Scottish band, who actually won. Spoiler alert if you haven't listened to the last episode. Anyway, so a little more serious though here. The bizarre job of a professional athlete is that you have thousands of people watching you and judging you. And there are some people who have said that you're not good enough for this level, Jama. What kind of impact does that kind of outside doubt have on you?
To be honest, it's not something I kind of look at. I kind of try to focus on me, try to focus on my own game. There's always going to be opinions from everyone. Everyone's got an opinion on something. So I can't affect what other people are going to say or what they're going to do. All I can affect is what I do. So yeah, it's just down to me to kind of, I suppose, prove people wrong, but prove myself right more than anything and play my game and, you know, show why I can do well.
Yeah, and ever since we've known you, that's all you do is prove everyone wrong, prove yourself right. You know, very few players have had such a long and successful career as you have. Many guys at your age have already retired or are winding down, or maybe their performance levels have dropped. You're the opposite.
But not you. Like, yeah, not
yeah, you. You seem to just be getting started. Your performance levels seem to increase every year. Two seasons ago, you were a finalist for League Two Player of the Season. last season, and you're also on pace for the Golden Boot had you not gotten injured. Last season, you led the entire EFL in combined goals and assists for a long time. You know, who knows what's in store this season, but your continued improvement deep into your career is just, it's like, it's remarkable. And it's so cool to watch. What's the secret, Jama? What is your secret at getting better every year, well into your career?
I think it's just, I think experience obviously helps. So you kind of know what you need to do to get the best out of yourself. But then again, I'm playing in a fantastic team, playing around fantastic players. So they obviously help me. But yeah, just wanted to keep improving, wanted to keep working hard and looking after myself to make sure I can put my best out on the pitch. So yeah, I'll always do that. I'll always try to give my best, and that's all I can do.
I love that. I love that. And we all see it, man. Year after year, you've delivered. You've exceeded everyone's expectations. It's just so fun to see. And so fun to watch you out there, Jamma. So put on your prediction hat here. Are we staying up? Are we? We only have one game of data to work off of. But, you know, what do you think? Like, how confident are you in our ability to survive this brutal league against some of these massive, massive teams?
Yeah, pretty confident, to be honest. I don't think I don't like to think in my career I've never really been, touch wood, obviously you don't want to be in a relegation fight. But, you know, I think a lot of the players at the club are the same. We don't want to just be aiming to stay up. I think we've got to look to be better than that and to kind of push ourselves and see where we can go. On the back of last season, we've used to being a successful team, a successful club. So I think that's the minimum we need to do, is look at pushing on and build momentum and trying to have that mentality of, you know, we've come from a winning mentality. So that's something we want to carry on and keep going. And if we can do that, who knows what we can achieve. I think not many people will expect a lot from us. So we need to expect from ourselves. And if we can do that, then, you know, who knows what we can do.
Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful way to put it, man.
And yeah, and here's just a question. I mean, you mentioned our success over the past few seasons. Do you feel like now within the dressing room, within the training ground, it's an expectation that you keep pushing on? I know to everyone else, we're the underdog, we get, you know, underrated, but how is it for you guys in the, you know, on the team?
Yeah, exactly that. I think athletes in themselves are ambitious and people that want to improve try to push the boundaries of every day and what you can achieve every season, because otherwise, why would you be an athlete if you're not pushing? If you just want to settle and be the same, then there's no point really. So obviously from the boys that were there last year and even the boys that have come in, I think they all want to achieve something personally. But then if you want to achieve something personally, then obviously the best way to do it is collectively as a team. So we all expect to kind of kick on, and I think the standards that we had from previous seasons, it's something that we want to carry on and take into this season. And if we take those standards and to keep improving and keep pushing on, then, you know, we'll definitely be a better team, and we'll be, we'll be able to achieve something this season.
Love that. All right. One last question, and then we're going to do a little teammate talk here, Jamma. Arsenal, are they winning the Premier League?
I still think it might be a little bit too soon for that, but I'd be contradicting myself if I said, you know, I look at preseason, because obviously they've been unbelievable in preseason.
Yeah. Gabby Jesus, man.
Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. I think I saw a stat today. I think he's the most picked player of all time in the fantasy Premier League.
Wow.
70% of players have picked him. So that shows what form he's kind of been in over preseason. And I think the recruitment in at Arsenal over the summer has been fantastic. I've had the kind of fortune to play against Alexander Zinchenko as well. And what a player he is. He started the game at left back in the game we played against him, but played more or less the whole game in central midfield.
Versatile.
So, first time, but just looked at how good he was, because he was actually left back when they had the ball. He was in the centre of the pitch as an extra player, and saw how good he was obviously firsthand. But I'm obviously going to be biased with being an Arsenal fan, but I think they'll do really well. I think this year we'll definitely finish top four at least.
Wow. Yes. Love it. Love the ambition. All right. So let's get out of here on this. We have a bunch of new faces here and some old, but help us get to know the new boys, Jamma, with a little teammate talk. League One edition. Shimmy, kick it off.
All right. As Nathan mentioned, Jamma, this is a new league with new faces. So which of the new lads has surprised you the most, and how quickly they've integrated into the team and the culture at Forest Green?
I'd probably say David Davis. Probably not surprised me, but he's Digger's a natural ball winner. He comes in and he's life or soul off the pitch in terms of really quite bubbly, very bubbly personality. Will speak to anyone and everyone. And then you feel his presence on the pitch as well. But when he's on the pitch, he wants to work really hard, which obviously we all do, but he really sets the tone. He's been a great addition for us. I've seen great experience of this level and above as well. So he's been a very valuable addition, and someone I think that's really valuable to us this season.
That's awesome. It's great that you say that, because I believe in our previous episode, that's who we picked to be the unsung hero, in a sense that he's new to the club. But yeah, we think, just like Ben Stephenson had a huge impact last season, we think Dig is going to do great things for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. As an aside, not one of our teammate talk questions, but did you, like, have you ever played with any of these new guys before? Do you have any relationship with any of these new guys at any past teams?
I haven't, no. I would have played against, season played with Richmond, played against him. I think others played against, obviously, Corey. A few of others were played against, but not with. But yeah, it's getting to know the boys, isn't it? Like, figuring out how we complement each other. Because similar to Corey, he played against us a couple of times last season. So he's another one who's really exciting. We've got a really exciting squad looking into the season.
I love it. Well, let's get to know them a little bit more. Here we go. One Direction. Who would be the best goal celebration choreographer? We expect a higher level of goal celebration now that we're in League One.
from the new lads.
Actually, yeah, I think we can go.
It can be anyone. We can open it up.
Yeah,
actually, we can open it up.
Everybody, because we lost a bunch of guys, so maybe someone new. Yeah, anybody.
I'm gonna say Dokes, because we obviously me and him a couple of times last season. We had a few games where we were like, right, if I score or if you score, we're gonna do this. So if you can remember the Warsaw game where he did the people's elbow on me.
Yes,
incredible.
So yeah, I'd go with Dokes, and I think I'd have to go with Dokes. I think he kind of has that thought, or we have that thought process. We like to have fun in terms of, if you score a goal, you know, he wants to get involved and celebrate in the right way. So yeah, I'll go with Dokes for that one.
I love that. He's been boxing too. He's been hitting the boxing gym. So maybe we'll see a little fighter celebration one of these times. Yeah. All right, Shimmy.
Well, as they say in, you know, show business, he's a triple threat. Incredible defensive stops. We know he can croon. We've heard the John Denver.
That's true. We've heard him sing.
For a second, and now we know that he's the dancer. He's going to be the main choreographer of goal celebrations. Excellent. All right. Yeah. So again, this is League One edition. So now we go to the Jet Li film, The One. Currently sitting at 14% on Rotten Tomatoes, the martial arts sci-fi epic featuring Jet Li, Jason Statham, and of course, who could forget the star-turning performance of Doug Savant as Cop? Our question to you, Jamma, is, in the dressing room, who is a kung fu movie aficionado, or who loves watching bad movies, or if you can't think of any of those, who do you think is the most likely to act like Zlatan Ibrahimovic, show those tendencies on the pitch, maybe busting out a few martial arts moves? So we're opening it up to a bunch of different...
There's a lot of questions there in one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to answer. Yeah.
I'd probably go... Dom Bernard.
Dom, let's go.
Dom, I think I can see him pulling out some kung fu moves, Dom.
That's dangerous, though, with the level of his shorts. That's a dangerous thing he's doing. He's playing with fire there. You know?
Yeah, I think you've got to look at it the other way, where the shorts are kind of in the right position, so it's not going to restrict him getting the legs quite high. So
there you go.
Yeah, so I'll go for Dom on that. I think, it'd be kung fu fighting.
I love it. All right, here we go. League One, WON. We know how talented the core of the squad is, and we saw it last year. They got promoted. Who do you think will be the new unsung, the unsung new arrival that could surprise us all and vault the club into glory this season?
I think it's a tough one, because all the lads have been really, really good, like in training, and everyone's obviously good at in their own right. I think I'm obviously looking from an outside point of view. Well, from a point of view where, when he signed, I think Kyle McAllister, when he first signed, my agent sent. I think my agent had previously worked with him, or had him on as a player, or represented him. And I think he said he's one of those players that I think will be really exciting, and he had a bit of an insight on him, and I've been really impressed with him. I think in training and in the game. So for me, like I said, everyone's really, probably because I didn't know as much about Kyle, or kind of come across him, I'd say probably Kyle at the moment, a little bit of a player, because I've played against a few of the other boys already, or knew about him. So Kyle for me so far, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's a perfect shout. We talk about that later in the episode. about Kyle MacAllister and how much he surprised us, how incredible he was in that first game. We had no idea what to expect. You know, we thought Harry Boys was like going to be our go-to left wing, and then he got injured, obviously, and so we were all thinking like, oh, MacAllister's just there to like, you know, fill in temporarily until Harry's back to full health, and then blew us away. Yeah. Unreal debut for us. So yeah, I think that's a perfect shout. Shout out to Kyle MacAllister. Yeah.
Had us on the front foot when we needed to in that first match.
Yeah, man. Yeah. All right, Shimmy, close it out here.
Okay, and so this last one, Jama, is actually in honor of Nathan. You know, you and the lads were rightfully busy celebrating your promotion at the MEM at the end of last season, and we were doing the same thing, and Nathan did it by exploring every nook and cranny of the MEM. He was in the suites. He ended up in the locker room. He even found the secret dungeon that they had there. Shh, don't tell anybody. But in honor of Nathan's tour of the entire Memorial Stadium, yeah, Nathan.
Let me just say this. I should send you later. There's some hilarious pictures of me, Jama, that I didn't know were taken of me, of where I'm just like in the background at places I shouldn't be. In the dressing room, there's a picture of me during the women's game in the, I forget what it's called, but the stand where we stood. They cleared it out for the women's game, and I was the only one in it. There's another image of me during the women's game where I'm like on the ground, like there's a player injured, and I'm like on the ground with them, with the medical staff in medical gear. I don't know. I have no idea how that happened. A few too many celebratory drinks, Jama. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah, well, we were feeling hyped that day. No problem. So we know that, you know, Nathan has taken a tour of the Memorial Stadium in Bristol, and we know that League One is a hotbed of traditional grounds. You got Pride Park with Derby. You've got Fratton Park with Portsmouth, Hillsborough with Sheffield Wednesday. Which of the lads in the locker room would you envision being the best at giving a stadium tour?
Oh, keep it a sec. I'm going to go Luke McGee.
Oh, McGee. Interesting. Why?
All right. Yeah.
I think he's just like, he's got really well rounded. I think he'd be have a bit of culture about him. So I think he'd give you a few history, a few facts, a few.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll go for Lukey.
Totally see that. Totally see him having some like random history bits everywhere. Oh, I love that.
All right. But bonus question, part B: would he be wearing his goalkeeper's kit while he gave the tours? Yes or no?
I think and gloves.
And gloves. Yes. Yes.
So extra credibility.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. I think Matty Stevens would compliment him as well, really well. I think Luke would give like the history bits, and Matty would have a few interesting facts as well, and a few jokes to go alongside it. So I think those two would compliment each other really well.
I love it.
There we go. Hey, right, we gotta take this to the boardroom. This is the post football career.
The new chief experience officer, hire these two to give new lawn stadium tours. You heard it. All right, let's get out of here. Shimmy, you got one more question?
Yeah, one last thing. And of course, you know, it was a big celebratory moment last weekend when the women's national team of England brought home European glory. So, Jama, any thoughts about that? Were you feeling motivated about that? Shout out, you know, to Chloe Kelly rocking the shirt off celebration. That was a throwback to the United States when Brandi Chastain did the same thing, celebrating World Cup 99. But how are you feeling after that? And what's the mood like in England now?
Yeah, it was obviously a great moment for the women's team and for England in general. It's you can see the way it's brought the country together. There's obviously a record attendance for the final, for a European final. So yeah, it was massive. And I think it's something that was needed, because the women's game is obviously making progression and making really, really big strides. And for the England women team to go and win it, especially at home Euros, I think it kind of cements that. And it's opened a lot more conversations and pushing conversations a lot more forward now in terms of giving women the opportunity a little bit more in terms of being able to play from grassroots and also just, you know, bringing the game a little bit more forward with the women's game. So yeah, it's obviously made great strides, and yeah, it was celebrated massively here. I think everyone was watching the game. 17 million, I think, that was watching the game. Yeah. So yeah, it's a great achievement, and it's been a great week.
Love that. Love that. All right, Jama, we will let you get out of here. It came home, baby. Sorry. Still got the silver cup. Anyways, we'll let you get out of here, Jamma, man. Thank you, as always, for coming on, for sharing your insight with us, for hanging out with us. We will see how your Family Feud score holds up when we have other players on. But
you set the benchmark.
We'll cut you a little slack. Yeah, you set the benchmark.
Yeah, to be fair, I was the first one, so now they know how to play it and stuff. So they, you know,
that's true.
If anyone beats me,
we might have to have you back on to do a redo. But anyway, all right, Jamma, appreciate you as always. Everybody, go out there. You can follow him on Instagram at J4MMAA Jamma. Follow him on it's just J4MMA on Instagram, right?
Yeah,
just Jamma. Mm-hmm. But on Twitter, it's J4MMAA, Jamma, with an extra A. Oh, you changed your profile picture on Twitter too, Jamma. Look at that. I don't know when you did that, but it looks good. You're like in a field. It's like professional black and white background.
Oh, it's 2 weeks off, I think.
Okay, I was like, am I looking at the wrong Jamma? anyway, follow Jamma on social media. You can watch him every Saturday and the occasional Tuesday on the pitch. He is the man. He is our captain. We love you, Jamma. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Always a pleasure, Jamma. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me, as always, guys. Appreciate it.
Oh, Jamma. Jamma.
Captain, my captain. Man, I just love that guy.
Captain, my captain. Jamma's the man. Oh, love him coming on. Love his positivity, his leadership. He's the best, man. We are so lucky. So lucky to have him on our team. And also so lucky to that he's so nice to us.
Yeah.
The pod or whatever.
Yeah, and on even a little more serious note, it was Nick Anderton, right, that was announced just a couple days before the game that, you know, he had bone cancer. And so just to see, even in the pre-match interview Jamma gave with the club, his empathy, you know, his just what a great human, you know, for Nick Anderton, wishing him well. And everyone here, and I know across the EFL, I'm sure, is wishing Nick Anderton a speedy recovery and all the best.
100%, man. All right, let's go to our guy Lori Martin now, so we can dive a little deeper into that match. He was at the match on Saturday, so let's hear his perspective from as someone who was there and also as someone who's intelligent about football, unlike us. So let's go to Lori. Here we go.
Somebody's got to drive this truck, baby.
The brilliant Lori Martin joins us to chat about the game. We needed to fill the internet airspace with some sort of informed FGR opinions now that Lori and Ollie's pod is on a temporary hiatus. So we invited Lori on to bring us that. I can't imagine we have any listeners that don't already follow Lori, but if not, go follow at Lori Martin 263. He is the best four screen follow outside of maybe Jamie Flagg, when Jamie Flagg's had a few too many Jaeger bombs. Lori is one of the smartest minds in the four screen opinion verse, in my humble opinion. He is a Lori of football knowledge. That means truck for American listeners. Lori Martin, thank you for joining us, man.
Thank you very much for having me, Nathan. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Well, as we said last week, you're welcome anytime, and we're just going to try to keep bribing you, kidnapping you, whatever, tricking you into coming back. So let's open up with Saturday. Saturday, your first match actually as a fan, Lori, in like 2 years, right? You've been covering the team for Gloss Live, I think, for the last 2 years. So how did it feel to be a fan again?
Yeah, it was a bit weird. So yeah, it was two and a half years, my last game as a fan, which was the 2-0 win at Swindon just before COVID. So yeah, it's been a long old time, like a lot of people that I haven't seen in ages, a lot of faces that I didn't like recognize, and I thought, who's this, but like it's been so long that they probably didn't have a clue like who I was and stuff like that. So yeah, it was great to be back, getting into sort of, you know, the old rituals and old habits. Very different, but great to see like so many familiar faces. Like I shook so many hands on Saturday of people that I just haven't seen in ages, and an incredible win to kick it all off as well.
Oh, that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of football too. On our first goal, did you find yourself like you didn't know if you were allowed to celebrate because you felt like you're back in the press box?
A little bit, yeah. And I went a bit mad with the disallowed goal as well for.
Which yeah,
turns out it probably was onside, but I sort of lost it at that moment. But no, I think I'll slowly get back into it. I legged it down the steps after the first goal, hugging everyone I could see. So Nah, you don't forget I'll do that stuff.
I love it. In no time, you'll be taking your shirt off like the shirtless shadow, waving it around your head. I love it, Lori. And you're right, dude. That second goal was 100% a goal when you look back on it. Everyone was on sides. But whatever, it didn't matter. We got the Regan Hendry wonder goal at the end. The only reason it matters is we'd be number two right now, right? We'd be second if that goal stood. But anyway, whatever. We move on. So let's open up. What were your thoughts, just overall thoughts on Saturday's match, Lori?
Well, the one thing I'll say I haven't missed, Nathan, is the sheer negativity in the stands. Because before the game, there was a lot of, we're losing this 3-4-0. And then, obviously, it wasn't the best first 20 minutes of the game. But we stuck in there, didn't we? Sort of rode out that little bit of pressure. And from there, at half-time, I was speaking to people and I was saying, like, we should be 2-3-0 up. We won't have many better halves this season. I had so many good chances with Jammer hitting the post, McAllister's header, Cargill's header, Davis's block shot. And yeah, I guess the worry at that point was, will we be able to have another half as good as that one? And it probably, maybe in terms of chances, wasn't quite as good a second half. But I think in terms of control, it was just as good as I thought. I think Forest Green they had less of the ball on Saturday, about 48% of the possession. But I thought they controlled the game really, really well. Maybe didn't control the ball, but never looked in danger particularly. I don't think it's going to sort of change my expectations sort of like long term going into the rest of the season. But a very encouraging start, which I think surprised a lot of people, you know, a lot of new players, a new manager. But you could see all the patterns of play and everything sort of emerging. And yeah, thoroughly, thoroughly deserved win, I think.
I love it. And you just mentioned the new manager, Birchnall. What do you think of of the Birchnall debut? Birchball, both the style of the play, his style of dress maybe, formations, man management, the whole package. What do you think of Ian Birchnall?
Yeah, well, I didn't get to meet Ian, at his unveiling, and, you know, he seemed a very, you know, not nice chap, and everything I've heard from other people suggests that, you know, he's going to be a nice bloke, sort of just like Rob was. But a very impressive debut. I think we can expect, I think we're going to have a lot of fun this season. I really do. I think we'll have a lot of goals. I think we might concede quite a lot, but I think sort of the main takeaway from that on Saturday was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun watching it. And I think, you know, on Saturday against Ipswich, people go and they're going to have a lot of fun again. They might not win Forest Green. They're not expected to. But I think they're going to go toe-to-toe with Ipswich and try and give it a right good go. So as good as a managerial debut as you can have, really, because, you know, obviously Rob Edwards got off to a winning start last season, but maybe the performance wasn't quite there against Sutton. Here, the performance was absolutely there. And it's kind of hoping that's a sign of things to come. At the end of the game, when he came over to clap, me and my mates were giving him the big so he could do a few fist bumps, but he decided against that. So we just got to clap. But hopefully he'll warm to the south stand and the away ends, and we'll get a few fist bumps as the season goes on.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So what do you think, what are the things you think that we did best as a team on Saturday?
I think the thing that excites me is the midfield. I think our midfield's really good this season. I'm really excited to see how Hendry does this season now. I think Rob got the best out of almost every player last season, but I don't think he got the best out of Hendry. You know, I thought he was decent, you know, probably didn't play as much as he would have liked to. Struggled for a run of games between sort of October and March. But Birchnall's basically playing him as a number 10, and could that be the key to unlocking him, because he's got such good technique. And, you know, we've seen last season he scored quite a few long shots, and he did, even aside from his goal Saturday, I thought he was outstanding. So could that be the key to unlocking him? So I think that midfield area, we're looking so strong in there with sort of the two sitters in Davis and Stevenson, and obviously Reese a little bit further forward as well, who just showed moments of class which are probably above the level. So yeah, I think the two wing backs as well, I think we used them very well. Corey looks a brilliant replacement for Kane. I think really promising baby. But McAllister was probably the one that surprised me on the left. You know, he's sort of a little bit of a makeshift option for now. You know, whilst waiting for Boyce to get back to full fitness, which could be a couple of months yet. But what a debut. I was so impressed with the way he got into good positions and also his quality at times as well. He should score the one where he should just lift it over Belshaw, but he got into so many good positions. But I think clearly Birchall's got his ideas across very clearly and very early to all the players, and they looked all looked like they knew exactly what they were doing in terms of out of possession as well. Because I think one thing a lot of people have been saying is, you know, Birchall's teams are a bit of a soft touch. You know, when the other team has momentum, sometimes his teams crumble. But we definitely didn't see that on Saturday. It could still prove to be the case, of course. But didn't see any of it. They looked really solid. So all in all, really impressed. But I think the midfield wing backs and the way Forest Green managed the game probably at 1-1 were the most impressive things.
Yeah, you mentioned McAllister there. I was going to ask you, who was the biggest surprise for you? For me, it was 100% McAllister, the Harry Boys replacement. You know, I was worried. I hadn't seen any of the preseason stuff. And we've heard so many good things about Harry Boys. I've heard absolutely nothing about McAllister. So I thought he was just like a little, you know, whatever, some kind of stopgap replacement. And as soon as Boys is back, you know, he'll be out and he might struggle a little bit. He was awesome. McAllister was unreal. He actually should have had, he had the assist on the goal that was disallowed too. He could have had his own goal. He was unreal, man. So is that the surprise player for you, or was there anyone else that stood out that you didn't really have expectations for and they just blew you away?
No, I think yeah, McAllister would definitely be the one, because, you know, obviously Jacob Jones has come in as well. And I think, you know, he's still a young lad, and it sounds like he still needs to get up to full fitness in terms of match sharpness until he's sort of like considered for availability. So I did think, you know, McAllister might just be like a 3 to 5 game stopgap, but it definitely doesn't seem like that's the case. I thought, you know, maybe I'll be honest, I only went to one preseason game, but to ones who had been to more, I hadn't heard particularly positive things either about McAllister's performances, even though you can't base a lot off that. But yeah, he was definitely the surprise for me, even though it was just a short cameo. I thought Ollie Casey was really good as well. Looks like, you know, he definitely expect him to go on like a run of starts at some point this season, because he's clearly got the quality. He came on probably only for 5 minutes. But thought he dealt with Loft really well, covers ground well, big size. I think Forest Green fans are really going to warm to him. So yeah, I'd say McAllister, the biggest surprise. I thought all the debutants impressed. And then we know the quality that the remaining players have. I saw a lot of people bigging up Moore Taylor's performance on Saturday. I almost didn't notice him, but I think that's because I expect it from him. He's so consistent. Yeah. Like, genuinely, he'll be absolutely fine at this level. He was one of the best 3 or 5 centre-backs in League 2, probably. So he's going to be absolutely fine at this level as well. So, yeah, they were the surprises to me, but no surprises from the players we saw last season.
100%. So I want to talk about the players in one sec. Before I do, though, I want you to put on your pre-match Terrace's negativity hat here. What do you think were our vulnerabilities or our weak points in this one?
I think everyone going into it thinks a lack of goals is going to be a problem this season. And, you know, that's a concern I share, but I keep saying to people that they will sign a striker. And people have said things like, yeah, but we needed one in before Bristol Rovers. No, they didn't. Like, Forest Green can get through the first 3, 4, 5 games of the season without a striker. That's fine. Like, they don't need one. They need one that's going to, you know, play 30, 35 games and, you know, get Forest Green to where they want to be. So it doesn't matter about getting one in early and panicking. They need to wait and make sure the right one becomes available. So, but yeah, I guess being on the Terrace beforehand, that was the thing. I think a lot of people just expected Bristol Rovers to be quite a few levels above us based on how they ended the season. But also, look at the recruitment. Like, Bristol Rovers have not really done a lot, and they're still waiting to make 6 or 7 signings. Organisationally, I don't know if that's a word, but there's such a good structure at Forest Green, getting things done early. Honestly, I think they're one of the best in the EFL at getting things done. So So whilst I think people were like, oh yeah, Bristol Rovers will walk it today because of their momentum and the way they ended last season, I think, you know, as a squad on Saturday, we were in a much better place than Bristol Rovers. By January, they might have a much stronger squad than us based on their recruitment, but perhaps it was a good time to play them. So look, yeah, I get people's concerns regarding recruitment and stuff like that, but it's all going to sort itself out. I'm confident of that.
Yeah, man. And you met, so if I can quote the great Laurie Martin, organizationally, I agree. I think that is our huge advantage over really every other team in the league. When Gab Sutton was on last week, he talked about that's why he ranked Four Screen so high. He has us finishing 12th, which is crazy to think, like to imagine. But he's so optimistic because he knows how we do things. He knows Richard Hughes. And I think also in your piece in 442, Laura, you mentioned Richard Hughes as being a huge piece of why you ranked, you put us 17th, I think. I think we have an outstanding organization. Just trust the process. Trust Richard Hughes. It's going to work out. Okay, so three stars, Laurie. This is an old hockey thing we do where we I'll start. I'll show you how it's done. But basically, I want to know who are the three most important players for you in this game, starting from third, second, and then we'll go with like the man of the match at the end. So for me, well, an honorable mention is Bailey Cargill. I almost wanted to put him in here. He was outstanding on defense. So many key tackles. He almost had that goal, the opening goal of the season, which would have been great. But I got to go with McAllister. We already mentioned all of McAllister's key passes, and he just looked amazing. He almost had a goal as well. I think he had the most shots on goal of any of our players as well. So where are the goals coming from? Maybe Kyle McAllister. Kevin McAllister from Home Alone. That's my third star. My second star is JMT, Jordan Moore Taylor. You already mentioned him. The rock of the back, the leader of the back. Man, I just remember this one play in the first half. I don't know who it was for Bristol Rovers, but they were coming down the attack and they were putting all the fancy little footwork on Bailey Cargill, about to go right around him. It was one-on-one versus Bailey Cargill. And Cargill just like calmly tackled him, took the ball, passed it forward like it was easy, nothing. JMT was amazing. Sorry, not Bailey Cargill. My bad. JMT I'm talking about. JMT was unreal. Obviously the goal, but beyond the goal, you know, on the defensive end, he just did what JMT does. He's that rock for us at the back. And then obviously the man of the match, the first star, Regan Hendry. Unreal passing, just unbelievable game. He was everywhere. And actually, he could have had a couple assists as well that, unfortunately, if it were not for Belshaw making ridiculous saves. So those are my three stars. Who are your three stars, Laurie?
Oh, that's a good question. I think third, I will go with I'm going to go with Corey O'Keefe. Third, thought it was a really, really solid debut. I mean, look at the position he got in for the goal that was disallowed. He's going to get so advanced. He'll score and assist a lot. I really liked it when he was off the pitch as well. He was turning around and geeing up the crowd as like the final seconds were ticking away. I like that. Like to see a bit of crowd interaction from someone in their first game. So he'd be my third. I think second would be, I'd go with McAllister as well. Like, you know, we've spoken about him being a surprise. He was up and down. I think it's five shots, three on target. It looks like he's going to be a real attacking threat for us. So excited to see that goes along. And then I think number one has got to be Regan Hendry. Even aside from the goal, which at the time, you know, people I spoke to, I said he did not mean that. Not in a million years did he mean that. But he absolutely did mean it. Watching back the replay, I think in the crowd, it's not the best view. I thought there must have been a player at the back post who he was aiming for. But he knew exactly what he was doing to lob Belshaw. But the way he switched the play to McAllister for the goal, and he did that all afternoon as well. Really excited to see how he does in the number 10 role. And I'd probably say honourable mentions as well to Moore Taylor. I mean, that pass he played to Reece Brown for the Reece Brown shot in the first half. Unbelievable sort of quarterback pass. And then Reece Brown would be the other one for me. Just so good to see him back in a Forest Green shirt. He wasn't at his best, I don't think, but he'll get there eventually.
Appreciate the Americanism there with the quarterback pass as well. But yeah, man, Regan, excited to see him in this new position, in this new role. Like you said, he was like maybe the one guy that Rob Edwards didn't know exactly what to do with. And under Birchnell, maybe he'll be our next Big Daddy Kane Wilson. Who knows? All right, let's close out here. Saturday, Ipswich, Birchnell's boys take on the Tractor Boys. Forest Green host the East Anglian Giants of Ipswich Town. How do you think we'll fare? What do you think, Laurie?
Tough game, one of the promotion favourites. Obviously, they've got an embarrassment of riches in forward areas. Defensively, they were so solid towards the end of last season with McKenna as well. I actually don't think they'll be that high as maybe some do, but they'll definitely be certainly hoping to challenge for the top two at the very least. So look, it's going to be a tough game. Do I have more confidence after Saturday? Yes, 100%. I think even listening to Birchall after, I love the way he speaks, and he said, look, we're going to go toe-to-toe with every team in this division. I like that. But, you know, pay off all the time. We might go to some place and lose 4 or 5, but I like that he's ambitious enough to think that we can take it to every team in this division. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. Ipswich coming to the new lawn is ridiculous. I'm feeling quietly confident, especially of a performance, maybe even if the result doesn't come.
I love that. I am too, although I would be even if we lost this 1-7-0 against Bristol Rovers. It's just our dumb American nature. But anyway, Laurie, man, thank you so much. This was brilliant as always. If you don't already, I know you already do, but if you don't, follow Laurie Martin at Laurie Martin 263 on Twitter. He is the best. Laurie, man, appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much, Nathan. Enjoyed that. Cheers.
All right, Laurie. Ah, Laurie's the man. As always, man, we said it last week, like the world is missing, you know, that kind of insight. Well, the four-screen world is missing that kind of insight. So happy that he was able to come on our pod and give us, fill that gap, fill that void.
Exactly. And shout out to Laurie enjoying himself as just purely as a fan again, too, right? Because we know he had some responsibilities last year and he had to remain impartial and neutral for match reports and his copy, but I remember his tweet from over the weekend. He's just so excited to be a fan again, you know.
Yeah.
Do that. So just we love to see that Laurie bring it.
Love it, Laurie, you're the man. Hopefully, we're gonna have Laurie on a lot this season. All right, let's go to our last guest.
So wait, you're promising you're gonna do like the truck backing up sound, right? Whenever
yes. Right. Oh, I gotta. Yeah, you're right. Okay, I gotta add that. I haven't finished editing. We'll add that soon. All right, let's go to our guy Ross Halls from the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast, and then we'll close out. Let's go learn about Ipswich, Jimmy. So we go behind enemy lines, and welcome to the pod a man known as the brand, the prodigy, the prospect, the beard, based on his podcast that I just listened to this morning. Oh, the tractor boy, Ross Halls, who hails from the halls of the Kings of Anglia podcast, an Ipswich Town podcast, which oddly has an American flag in their banner image. I don't know why. Welcome to the pod, Ross.
Well, that was an intro that I'm really happy to say I'm proud of. Thank you very much for that, Nathan. And I'll give you a little insight on why we've got an American flag. Basically, we have American owners now. So USA, USA and all that.
Ah, okay. Well, let's hope they don't ruin your club as they've ruined so many in the UK. interesting. How long have you had the American owners?
It's only been a year, so still early days, but all good.
Year one was okay?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, good. I hope they're not. I don't know if you saw what's happening with Crawley Town and the NFT American owners and that super cringy video that came out. You saw that?
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, not great.
Yeah, not great. Not great. But speaking of American cringe, welcome to the Heaven's Devils podcast. A podcast run by two dumb Americans. So we'll have a lot of cringe probably in this little chat here. So first, I want to mention to you, we do a thing with our guests, our opposition guests, called Minesweeper Karaoke. There are four secret keywords, or landmines, if you will, that you cannot say. If you say them, we stop everything immediately. We break out in a karaoke song that is related to that keyword and also related to your club. So there's a little club tie in there. All the songs will be related to your club. There's a chance that none of us have to sing anything. There's a chance that we have to sing all three. Destiny will decide. Are you in on the record for that?
Yeah, on the record, let's do it.
What a guy. Oh, what a guy. All right, love it. Love you already, Ross. All right, so before we get into the football, we rate every opposing team's kit in a little segment we call Fashion Police. So we're going to quickly review your kit. I'll give my review first, and then I want to hear yours. We'll just do the home kit. We'll review it. We'll give it a score out of 10. and ask you to do the same. So here we go. The 2022-2023 Ipswich Town Home Kit Fashion Police.
Nails, hair, hips, heels, face done, lips real, purse full, big bills. Yes, I'm a big deal.
Fashion Police. I normally hate the general like English blue or like red kit. Every kit in England is blue or red, so boring. But I gotta say, this kit is not. It spices up that tired old blue kit with this crazy design of like these geometrical shapes that I assume are some kind of like club or cultural state, I don't know, club cultural stadium reference, or maybe just a reference to geometry. And if so, the theme of this shirt couldn't be brought together more beautifully than with the sponsor. That's what seals the deal for me. I love this shirt because the sponsor, I used to work as a physicist, so I love math. And your shirt sponsor is apparently math. I don't understand why. It's some kind of mathematical literacy campaign in the UK, maybe, but the shirt sponsor is just an arrangement of mathematical symbols plus, minus, equals, divide. I don't know why, but I love it. I mean, I guess you'll tell us why in a minute. But that plus the geometrical shapes on the front of the kit all adds up to me, pun intended, to being quite a beautiful shirt. Not quite as beautiful as Euler's equation, but very close. A very nice kit. I wanted to give this kit a 3.14 to come full circle, pun. But on this kit, this beautiful kit, forget the orders of magnitude. I'm giving this an Euler's constant plus a Planck's constant, which comes out to a solid 9.3 out of 10. A beautiful, classy take on the old boring blue kit. Ross, what do you got? And also, why do you have math as a sponsor? What is this sponsor?
Well, it's because it's a famous singer, Ed Sheeran. Basically, that's his album basically title, and he sponsors the shirt. And he's a local boy. He's from Suffolk. He supports Ipswich, so that's the reason why we got those symbols. That was one of his albums.
Ah, that's mind-blowing. So, okay, I had no idea. Interesting. Oh, yeah, I knew. I mean, I knew Ed Sheeran was an Ipswich fan, also a Bradford City fan, allegedly. But but I had no idea that his like symbol was like math, or his logo was math symbol. So anyway, all right, awesome. Shout out to Ed Sheeran. I had no idea. A little hint: the songs that we may or may not have to sing are Ed Sheeran. Anyway, keep going.
But yeah, I love the kit. You know, I got a nice sneak peek before the fans saw it and before a lot of people saw it. I got a little sneak peek. We did behind the scenes and we saw it. And I was just, when I saw it for the first time, I went, oh my God, I love this kit. And you were talking about the sort of symbols on the shirt. And, you know, basically it's one of our stands and it's unique to us. Normally we were Adidas beforehand, we were Umbro now. And with Adidas, it's just templates, a lot of templates. You know, you see loads of different clubs having the same kit pretty much, maybe a different, you know, colour or whatever. But this is unique to us and a lot of fans love it. And opening day of the season on Saturday, I saw that kit so many times, so many people got it. And I would say 9 out of 10 as well, pretty much. I think that's one of our best kits we've had it for a very long time.
Yeah, it's if I were an Ipswich fan, it would definitely be one of them that I buy. And yeah, you mentioned like Adidas has like the generic kits. It reminds me of Fulham, which I actually, Fulham was my introduction to English football. So I was always a Fulham fan until I found Forest Green. I still love Fulham, but Forest Green over everything. But anyway, Fulham notoriously every year has their away kit is always like one of the generic Adidas kits. Even this year, they tried to spin it like these are the bricks of Craven Cottage, their away kit. But if you look, that away kit is like the one of the generic Adidas away kits. So kind of lame there. But yeah, I love that this was a custom kit. I love the story behind it. Beautiful kit. All right, that was Fashion Police.
Girl, I don't dance, I work. I don't play, I slay. I don't walk, I strut, and then sashay. But I don't work for free. That's not the tea, hunty. So make it rain on me.
So let's get into the club here. So Ross, what's the vibe or the culture of the club, and its fans, really, if you can just say it in a few words?
A lot of positivity. I think last year we signed so many different players, and Ipswich Town in League One, you know, we shouldn't be in League One, we're a massive club, but we are here. This is our fourth season in the division. Last season we finished 11th, which is not good enough. This year, you know, got young manager and Kieran McKenna in charge. looking for promotion, of course, and all that sort of stuff. But a lot of positivity, and hopefully this could be the year, but you never know. League One is a crazy league.
Yeah, it's our debut in this league, and we got off to a good start, but really no idea what to expect, because it's, you have these massive teams like Ipswich, and then you have these tiny teams who, you know, this are their debut, like Forest Green. No idea what to expect. I'm sure there's huge gaps in money and resources. There's definitely gaps in support, which is my next question to you. So you come to Little Nailsworth this Saturday. Your stadium holds over 30,000 people, fourth largest in League One. You're coming to the second smallest stadium in League One, the New Lawn, which barely holds 5,000 people. I'm not even sure that's true either, having been there. I think that the 5,000, there's a sheep, there's like a hill with sheep grazing behind the West Stand. I feel like they add those sheep in there in that count. How many do you think you'll bring? And will your fans riot if they find the ground lacks the League One kind of standards that you've come accustomed to?
Well, I think we've sold out the away end, but I don't know the total. I think maybe about, I think it's over 1,000 or just under 1,000 maybe. But I know we've sold it out, which is a standard thing for Richard Town fans to do. And I think a lot of people are looking forward to it. I think it's another ground to tick off. Like, I've got to tick it off. I'm looking forward to going. There's a few fans who say they've gone already just to, you know, they've covered up for another team. But no, it's not a bad journey. Although I've heard there's not much around the stadium. So, you know, you may have to go to a pub nearby, a different town or whatever. But no, I'm looking forward to it. Bring it on. And I think, you know, it should be an improvement on some of the grounds in League One, because some League One grounds aren't great. I won't name them grounds because it's a bit unfair for them.
Interesting. Okay, well, it is a beautiful, beautiful part of the country. We went last April, and it is like it's just out of a fairy tale everywhere you look. But you're right. The stadium itself is in a small town called Nailsworth. There's like very little around. You actually have to go up a giant hill to get there. So it's not in the most convenient place. For drinks and everything, you're probably going to want to go to Stroud, which is like the nearest town nearby. But there's a bunch of good little bars and stuff in Stroud. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to have these massive teams like Ipswich roll into Nailsworth. It's going to be a fun experience for our opening day. Our opening home day, I should say. But speaking of opening days, your opening day, you had a draw against Bolton at home. How do you feel about the performance and the result for your team?
It was a slow start. You know, of course, the atmosphere was amazing. You know, 26,000 plus at Portman Road. But it was a very slow start. You know, we conceded a penalty, a very soft penalty. You'd think maybe nerves would settle in with, you know, the town fans and possibly the town players. But thankfully, we got a goal. We scored from a set piece. The Forest Green fans out there, and for you, Nathan, we have been struggling to score from set pieces for a while. But finally, we scored a goal from a set piece, you know, set the klaxon and all that sort of stuff. We scored. And then from there, we dominated. We should have won the game. We just weren't clinical enough. But overall, I think it's a good point against a good Bolton side. And I think it's probably the start I was expecting. I predicted a draw before the game. We got the point. We move on to Forest Green.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's crazy to think 26,000 people there. Pfft, mind blown. You mentioned the set piece. So you scored on a set piece. Interesting. Well, we have not. I mean, we've had one game in League One, so we haven't had many opportunities to concede on set pieces. So we haven't yet. But that's kind of it's what a lot of the experts say is our weak point. Is our new coach Ian Birchnell? He's struggled historically with set pieces. We don't have a very big team, so interesting to see if you guys capitalize on that. What is your footballing style or identity?
Well, Kieran McKenna is if you don't know him just yet, he's a very young upcoming manager, but a very promising manager. He's come from Man United. He was assistant manager under Jose Mourinho when he was there, only gone to Solskjaer as well, and he came in December, and he's changed the style of play. A very passing, fluid game, flying wing backs. We've got a player called Wes Burns, who is one of our won all the awards last year, was our top goal scorer, and he will be our the main threat. But just counter-attacking football. We play one up front. We've got two number 10s. Look out for the flying wingbacks, because that is a go-to for a lot of teams nowadays, of course, having the flying wingbacks. But we use them well. Yes.
Nice. Okay, well, cool. So how do you think we need to play, or what do we need to do to get some kind of result on Saturday?
Well, last year it was always the thing, if you stop Wes Burns, you get a result against Town, and that probably is the case again, because Wes Burns is a flying, very speedy, got a really good pace on him, and get the ball in the box. I think Ladapo, our striker up top, he's signed in the summer. He's another player who's physical. He's scored in this division before. So yeah, if you mentioned set pieces, if we take our set pieces well, we could be, that could be our main threat. We've got some other great players. Sam Morsey, our skipper, he is a leader. He was everywhere on Saturday against Bolton. So if you stop Sam Morsey going forward, and get him, don't get him angry. If you get him angry, he will be fighting all day long. So if you stop Wes Burns, stop Sam Morsey going forward, then there'll be a chance there.
I love it. Okay, so you mentioned some of the key players. I was going to ask you about that. I won't now, but I will ask you, best nickname on your team?
Well, George Emerson is one of our defenders, and we call him the Fridge, because yes. he's a big centre-half. And when he was at, he signed for us last summer from Rangers, and that's what Rangers fans called him. And we, of course, you just take nicknames from other clubs, don't you? And we just went, yeah, we just shout Fridge at him, because he's a big defender, and he does really well.
I love that. I love that. The Fridge, baby. So I'm going to ask your predictions here in a second, but I wonder, just kind of the, what would the feeling be in Ipswich if you guys come away with just a point or no points on Saturday?
Ooh, now, that is an interesting question, because, you know, this is our first ever visit to Forest Green, so you just never know what's going to happen. You know, last year, against the newly promoted teams, we didn't actually beat any of the newly promoted teams. So that's one thing we need to improve on this year. You know, we weren't able to beat Cheltenham, we weren't able to beat Cambridge, Bolton, and Morecambe as well. We never played Morecambe before, and they got two draws against us. So Town fans will be wanting a result against Forest Green. But you just never know when you go to these sort of grounds, and against teams like Forest Green, you never know what can happen. But I think that we want to win, you know, obviously. I think, you know, to get a win away from home, 4 points on the board, that is probably the start we want.
And where are you expecting Ipswich to finish this season?
Now, normally, when we do preview podcasts before a season, I normally go with my head, not my heart. Normally, my head goes, yeah, playoffs, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, if we miss out, we miss out. But I've gone with my heart this year, and I've said second. That sounds boring. Because, you know, you want to win the league, you want to hold the trophy up. Second, that means you just win automatically. Third or fourth, fifth, sixth in the playoffs, you go to Wembley and have that unbelievable, you know, Wembley. But for me, I'm happy with second. So that's what I'm going for. Just get it done, promoted, happy days.
Nice, nice. All right, so that was a prediction, but let's close out here with prediction time. Here we go. First up, Ross, what's the weather going to be on Saturday?
Hopefully it's warm, but not too muggy though. I don't want to be sweating too much on the car journey there and car journey back. So hopefully it's just, you know, just all right. You know, no rain, please. No rain. I don't want rain early doors in the summer. No, thank you.
Okay, so there you go. The Ross Hall's weather prediction. Score and why?
I've got to go for a Town win, of course. But I think Forest Green, you guys will give us a good game. I'm excited, as I said, go to Forest Green for the first time. I think we need to start quickly to, you know, score an early goal, settle the nerves a little bit. But I'm not going to go for a high scoring game for us. I think it's going to be 2-1. I think you guys will get a goal. We go 2-0 up. You guys maybe score a consolation goal, and that'll be a good job done.
Okay, first goal scorer.
Well, I predicted Ladapo, our striker, to be top goal scorer this year, and he didn't score on the opening day, so that's a bit disappointing. So, yeah, Freddie Ladapo, our striker, to score. Hopefully he does.
Man of the match.
Ooh, Sam Morsey all day. He's our skipper. He'll be everywhere.
All right, man. Ross, congratulations. You have successfully dodged all the landmines, too. You did not say any of the secret words, so we did not have to sing. I'm going to make my pod partner sing when he comes back, since he missed this interview. So we'll make him do all the singing and punish him and punish all of our listeners. So congratulations. You dodged all the landmines. Well done. Ross, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Good luck this season. terrible luck on Saturday. You can follow this man at Ross Media UK. You can follow the podcast at Kings of Anglia on Twitter, but also on YouTube, Kings of Anglia. Awesome, awesome YouTube. They had our buddy Lori Martin, who's also on this episode, actually. Shout out to Lori. They had our buddy Lori Martin on not too long ago. Ross, anything else we should plug?
No, just bring on my trip to Forest Green, Gloucestershire, and all that sort of stuff. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Let's go. Thank you for coming on, Ross. Cheers, brother.
Thank you, man.
All right, Ross from Ipswich. Unfortunately, he did not fall for the trap. He successfully made it through the minefield. By the way, I forgot to mention the words. The words were perfect. And if he said perfect, we had to sing the Ed Sheeran song Perfect.
Okay.
Another word was shape. If he said shape, we had shape to sing of Shape of You. And then the double whammy, thinking and loud. If he said thinking or loud, we had to sing thinking out loud. Surprisingly,
or if he had just randomly said the word hobbit. Didn't Ed Sheeran do the song for like the Hobbit movies?
I have no idea.
Or like Lord of the Rings or something?
I have no idea. But I think
that should have set it off anyway. You know, we should just make that a rule. That'll set it off. The word hobbit will set it off.
If anyone says hobbit, we have to all sing. We'll all sing. Yeah, I can't believe he made it through the minefield without saying any of those. So unfortunately for our listeners, there was no Ed Sheeran song on this podcast.
I'm sure there's a massive disappointment among the ranks of there's dozens of listeners we have.
All right, Shimmy, let's get out of here, Shimmy. Sure. Before we go, quick prediction for Ipswich. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, before we get into the predictions, just want to shout out Chloe Kelly of the England women's national team, bringing home the glory.
It's coming home.
Yeah, it's a game home, isn't it?
It's all right.
Came home. No one can see this because this is an audio medium, but I am rocking the Brandy Chastain hat today, and Chloe Kelly pulled off a very classy celebration. You know, pulled her shirt off like Petey Pablo, whipped it around her head like a helicopter a little bit, like she was from North Carolina. You know, mirroring, echoing that historic Brandy Chastain celebration from World Cup 99 when the US beat China. So you just love to see history repeating and echoing like that. And congrats to England. Congrats to all of our fellow FGR folks who are English. And then, man, great job.
Yeah, it came home, baby. So yeah, shout out to the English Football Association and everyone involved and all the English fans out there. All right,
Chris Latham as well, because we know Chris Latham. Has been a tireless and ardent supporter of the women's game, both at the FGR and anywhere. So he let us know
on the pod.
We do, and we know he was feeling really emotional with his family. He let us know, man. We were piped into that, so just happy for everybody.
Yeah, cheers. All right, Jimmy, we got to get out of here because we have literally 1 minute. So let's get out of here quickly. What's going to be the score?
I think we're going to keep building that momentum, man. It'll be tough. Our first League One, true League One opponent. So I think it's going to be a tough one, but I think we eke it out 1-0.
Let's go. I think we eke it out too. 3-1, baby. 3-1. Let's go. Dom Bernard hat trick up the Vegan Rovers. Let's get out of here, Jimmy. Up the Vegan Rovers.
We are FGR. You know we got to
praise him. Praise him. Baby. All right. Thank you all for listening. We will see you guys next week. Let's go, baby.
Thanks.
Keep the positive vibes rolling. Bye, everybody.